Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Magical in that respect. A great.
It's a technical phenomenon. We haven't fixed it.
I would like to apologize for the technical difficulties we have been going through here.
No. It's not a
three,
problem.
4 months.
This could have all been avoided.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Months ago.
Great. How about can I do it with co-hosts? Can I do it with Mark James on Friday?
That's Mark with a C. James.
Oklahoma City, Russell Westbrook. They did not want this to linger.
Biggest takeaway if you're a Celtics fan, thank God you are in the East.
Where are the green teamers?
The end of super team. In the NBA.
I think that how much you get paid should have something to do with how much money you bring in.
Equal pay for equal gender.
Wiggy's filler, Eddie Andelman thing is when you look at.
Right, he does.
He
that.
Always says when you look at, and that's he's thinking. Well, I actually like their show because of Lou and Christian.
Oh, okay.
Then. Peaked in 89, kind of like Glenn Oldwyn.
Right now.
I'll read a tweet from Jerry Callahan, who was on this morning, and he tweeted out a little after noon today. Well, that was fun, and it's been a blast. After 20 years in morning drive, I did my last show on WEEI this morning.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
So when I found out on Wednesday that on Friday I would be working with Wiggy and Mark James with a C.
Yes.
Calling me for 4 hours old way. I thought it was going to be a bad Friday. I found out it's a lot worse. A lot worse.
Yeah, went from bad to worse real quick, huh?
Here's my man, Jerry Callahan. Well, that was fun. After 20 years in morning drive, I did my last show on WEEI this morning. Thanks to all who listened. Unfortunately, this ain't a movie. Sometimes the bad guys win. Much more to come. And I'm sure there will be a lot more to come. I actually had a long conversation with Jerry last night. We hadn't talked since we both got back from vacation. And he knew nothing at the time. He was obviously informed after the show this morning. But, I mean, did he sense some of this stuff? Well, let's face it. I'll say the piece right now. We're not going to take phone calls on this for 4 hours because we're going to get people that, you know, say, right-wing Jerry. And then other people are sitting there going, oh, I'm going to miss him. I'm never going to listen to WEEI ever again because this is what people do when stuff like this happens. And we're not going to take phone calls, but I will talk about it during the course of the day. And I'm going to let these guys chime in as well because they got the opportunity to work here in the last year or so with Jerry. I think we all know that there's been a lot of turmoil, to say the least, here over the last year. And I think what Jerry's referring to, and again, he probably will talk a lot more about it because he was directly affected by it. Obviously, Kirk Minahan was directly affected by it. And that is that there are forces at work out there and people who do not, like we used to deal with radio, and I'm going to sound like the old man again here. You're going to like this, Mark James. Old way is going to step up to the plate. But you could disagree about something, okay? And you could have a conversation, and you know, especially when you start getting into politics and when you get away with sports, away from sports, even though in sports we sit here and disagree all the time. And it used to be at least civilized to the point where I think you're full of crap, but at least I'm going to argue and debate with you. We don't do that anymore. So if we hear somebody on the radio and we don't like the message, instead of sitting there saying, oh, it's very simple, I can push the button. I can tell Alexa to tune to a different channel. I can do something different. What we do is we try to see if we can get them to change their views to sound exactly like me in tow. Well, we can get rid of them. We can apply pressure. We can put pressure on sponsors. We can get, you know, other people who agree with our point and disagree with the point that is being echoed on the radio, and we can get rid of them. And I think there's too much of that that exists right now. I'm at the end of my career, so I'm not going to have to deal with this crap that much longer.
Right.
But I think there's too much of this in the world. Why is it we can't sit here and say we're going to disagree about something. And you feel about something one way, I feel a different way, and we argue it back and forth, and people either side with you or side with me, and then we just move on to the next topic. So I will say this about Jerry Callahan, because I know that people look at some of the things he says politically, and if they disagree, then Jerry is suddenly an awful human being. Jerry's one of the best guys I've ever known in this business. He's been one of the most successful guys in this business. You want to know why? Because he's really smart. He's really bright, okay? And even those people who disagree with Jerry Callahan have got to admit that deep down inside. You may disagree. You may think that his views are all wet, and he and I argue politics all the time. I can tell you a lot of his ideas are all wet, right? But he's smart, and he came to the table every single day with the resources and the energy, and he came every single day with information. So you better have your bleep together, because Jerry was going to be able to argue the point. He used to be able to do that. And for years, Jerry had a successful show with Dino. And, of course, with Kirk more recently, they had an unbelievable show. It was terrific. We're all sitting here going, why did that not continue? Why couldn't that be sustained? That was phenomenal radio. But we're in a different age. We're in a different era. And we all have to be on the same page, and we all have to stand in line, and we all have to march and say the same thing and have the same rhythm and the same beat. And if that's where the business is going, so be it. So Jerry Callahan was informed this morning that he is not going to be renewed with his contract, and so the radio station is making a change. Now, the ratings are not good, let's face it, but there's been turmoil. A year ago, 2 years ago, you want to go look at the ratings? They were number one in this radio station in morning drive. OMF was in midday. We were number one in midday. This is as recent now as a little over a year ago. There's been a lot of turmoil. There's been a lot of pressure from the outside. It has affected an awful lot of people. It has affected people who work in this building that go out every single day and sell radio time so they can put food on the table for their families. They have been affected by it. So eventually, all this stuff affects an awful lot of people. It affects their lives. It affects how they can deal with their kids and get their kids into college and afford college education. So obviously, it all comes back to where it emanates from. And so Jerry Callahan was not renewed today. And they're going to make a move, and they're going to bring in Greg Hill, the Hillman Show from WAAF. It's going to start on July 29th. I have nothing but good things to say about Greg Hill. I've known Greg for many, many years. I've been to many of his foundation events. He does a wonderful job in raising an awful lot of money. And he's a very talented guy. And I wish him the best of luck. I'm a little saddened today because my friend, my buddy is out. He was the same way, I think, when I was out here a few years ago. And this business has, you know, a lot of changes. Wiggy, you're trying to get in.
Right.
So why did you wear the Wiggy and Callahan t-shirt today?
Well, I had pulled it out yesterday.
Was this before the announcement?
Yeah, it was last night before, so I had pulled it out. You know, and Glenn, those are some great words. And for me, I've only worked here a short period of time, and so my idea of Jerry Callahan or my perception of him was completely different. You know, before I got here.
When you were a listener versus working.
Right, when I was a listener before working here. And so I liken it to be like, and I'd always say this with Jerry, he was my Archie Bunker and I was his George Jefferson, right? And I loved the going back and forth, and I loved the discussions that we had on a lot of different things. It wasn't really so much politics, it's more, you know, a lot of other things, a lot of race, some race talks. And I got to spend time with Jerry on the airplane when we went down to the Super Bowl.
Private jet.
Yeah, the private jet, right. And got to know him personally. And like you said, he is a great guy.
He's honest. He's straight. Yeah. You can sit there and you can bitch about his politics. I do as well from time to time. He's certainly right of where I am, and I'm certainly not to the left. But I would say this about him. He's honest about
right.
it. When he tells you it, he's speaking. It's not made up. I've had people tell me, come up to me at events or parties and say, hey, Jerry Callahan, he's making all that crap up. And I said, no.
Right.
Jerry's for real. But he's as honest and straightforward as any human.
Say this, you, Jerry, Dale, you guys were the bird magic in terms of creating sports talk radio in this market.
No, literally. So, listen.
God.
Let me just say this. Jerry.
Be smart today. You got 4 hours. I am going to be smart.
But it was an honor and privilege. Listen, it was an honor and privilege to get to work. Because when I think about sports talk radio in Boston, you and Jerry come to mind. Eddie Andelman, you guys created it in this market. What Francesa was to New York, you guys were to Boston. So I'm just, you know, thankful I got a chance to work with him for a limited time, like Wiggy, and the fact that I got to work with him his last week. I worked with him on Wednesday, and he was joking a little bit because Ken and Reamer did a little thing on Monday, and they were just saying, what if Jerry was gone? And Jerry was kind of joking with him on Wednesday. So this was a shock to me. I did not see
this coming. Did you work with him on Wednesday?
I did.
Because I actually heard that was the day management decided he was out. It might be you.
Oh, wow.
It ain't me. Glenn, it ain't me.
You might want to reevaluate if you want to work with Mark or C. James today.
It ain't me. But all I'm saying is this, what you said about Jerry. He's real. He's raw. Everything about him is authentic, and he will definitely be missed by me. I love working with the guy, and you can't replace someone like Jerry Callahan here.
I'm going to have to change my T-shirt.
You had Dennis and Callahan, and like you mentioned, Glenn, then you had the huge gold standard, which was Kirk and Callahan. Those guys were huge.
Want me to get you some white out?
Yeah, maybe not the right word.
We'll have to change the Wiggy and Callahan. I'm going to have to put some tape to it. I'm going to have to go Wiggy and the Hillman next.
I have to do that. I'm sure I didn't see you down at the boss's office.
Weren't you
sucking up to try to get? Well, you got to find where Hillman's office is.
I heard it, and when I saw it, I did send Jerry like a text and just told him, you know, it was good working with him for the short period of time because, you know, like you said, I only knew him for a short period of time. My perception of him was more of a listener, and then these last, 6 or 7 months to really be able to work with him.
Glenn, you've known him since he was at the Lowell Sun.
I did.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember being with him on buses going to Celtics playoff games. And Jerry would be on the bus and would sit there and shoot the breeze or whatever. We've been friends for a long, long time. Jerry, as you know, is a tremendous writer. Matter of fact, wasn't it Dino who said he should be writing more often or whatever? I think Jerry got a little bored with the writing aspect of it, but he was a great radio personality. And as I said, he was honest. You might have sat there and said, I don't agree with a single word he's saying, but none of it was BS. It was all with Jerry, and I'm sure he's going to find something else out there with everything that's out there in the world right now. But he was also one of these guys, I think, that understood what great radio was about. I don't think we have enough people in the industry now that understand what great radio is about. We talk about a copycat syndrome. Well, it's great to copycat something that's really good, but if you're just copycatting anything, it doesn't necessarily mean it's good. I love when people say, I just want great content. In most cases, great content is just a bunch of fill. Jerry produced great content over the years. He really did. And, you know, from the old show with him and Dino to more recently the stuff that he and Kirk did that was a tremendous. And then when that ended, you know, they were trying to put together something that could work. They brought you guys in and, you know, they had Mutt in there. And maybe Mutt was put in the wrong position. And I'm happy to say that Mutt's going to remain with the radio station and he's going to work at night. I think Mutt is very, very good at doing that. And he's going to be tremendous. Thought he was tremendous before that. But you're putting people in uncomfortable positions, and it was very difficult. So for us today, it's kind of a sad a day, but you're going to move on because we always have moved on. Radio has moved on, and all of us are going to move on. And, you know, we're going to welcome Greg Hill. He's going to start here on the 29th. As I said, I've known Greg for a long, long time, and we wish him the best of luck because, trust me, we all need it for the rest of the day parts right now. It was a rough rating period for us. There's no denying that. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. Not good. All right? Not acceptable. And we're going to have to do something about it. And so I think we're all going to try to work for that goal, to try to make it work. I think that Lou and Christian, I just had a quick conversation with the two of them. They picked a good week to go on vacation. I was the dope, and I'm sitting here working on Friday with all of this news. But, you know, I think they feel the same way, that we're going to do what we do. And it's a rough day.
Right.
Rough day. Because, you know, changes sometimes are not comfortable. And in this case, I think a lot of it has been unfair over the years. I understand where the company and what they're doing, they got to look at it from a business standpoint. I get it. Even though I may not like it, I get it. But on the other hand, there are forces that kind of forced everything into a very difficult position. And as I said, hopefully the audience down the road we'll understand that, and we'll get to a point where we can actually have a civil conversation. I don't even care about a civil conversation. I don't care if you yell.
Right.
Okay? I'm the biggest blowhard of them all, you know, yelling and screaming all the time. I don't care if we disagree about stuff. But damn it, have we gotten to the point right now where you can't mention anything? And I'll give you an example. Megan Rapoport, you can't mention anything now without somebody sitting there and calling you a name.
Or getting sensitive.
I got to tell you, Wiggy, we've gotten to a point right now that if somebody disagrees with you right now about a point of view, the first thing people reach to is they sit there and they call you a racist or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've gotten to that point right now where we can't sit there and formulate an opinion and say that you disagree with me, and maybe we talk it out. You talked about Jerry talking about race. I think people felt very uncomfortable about Jerry at time talking about race. I would think as a black man that it would be refreshing to have somebody, a white guy, who is on the right side of the aisle, that you could sit down and converse and talk about race. Because if we don't talk about it back and forth, black and white, what the hell are we accomplishing here?
Right, and that's what Jerry and I had some really good conversations on, black coaches, and a lot of things, you know, race-related. Because, you know, he comes from a world where he doesn't deal with a lot of black people on a daily basis. Probably doesn't have a lot of black friends and that kind of thing. So, for me, my biggest thing was that was the perception coming in, right? Here's this guy that has this view. He's got to have this certain look at life. But the more you get to know people, the more you have conversations with them on the air, what you try to do is give them a point of view that they've never seen before. And that might change their mind a little bit on how they view certain things, the same way he was able to do with me. And we were able to have that conversation without, like you said, looking at him and going, oh, you got to be this, you got to be that. No, here's how I see things. Here's how you see things. Let's conversate. We might not agree on certain things. You might not understand it because you haven't been in that world the same way I don't understand because I'm not in your world. But the thing that Jerry was good at doing was he was good at, you know, letting you know why he felt a certain way. And not only that, him as a person off the microphone, that's when you get to see somebody's true colors. And that was the guy that I got to know, you know, in this short period of time ago, man. Hey, this dude is a class act, and I enjoyed working with him. That's why I got the Wiggy and Callahan.
I did as well. And Glenn knows this more than anybody. Nobody, when it came to our most proud event of the year, the Jimmy Fund, nobody did more when it came to promoting and helping raise money for the Jimmy Fund than Jerry Callahan. So Jerry, he was all about that. He was always giving back. He was he was benevolent in every way, on and off the air. And you may not like what you say, but that's this business, isn't it, Glenn? I mean, you've been doing this for 30 years. Is that
82 years, Mark.
Right? The worst.
It's a long time.
The worst 82. Emotion you can elicit.
81 of them, pretty good.
Yeah. The worst emotion that any talk show host can elicit is apathy. Well, Jerry Callahan never elicited apathy. Ever.
You know, I didn't even think of the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, which is coming up in a month. I think it's
August
21st and 22nd of August, and Mark just brought it up. Jerry has been not only a fixture of it, but Jerry, like myself, a cancer survivor and near and dear to it. I can't tell you the other stuff that Jerry Callahan does during the course of the year with the Jimmy Fund. He probably does not want me to actually say it, but I can tell you he's heavily involved in a lot of stuff over there. And the 2 years that I was out of EEI, and then, as Kirk said, it came crawling back. I think that's what he said. I think that was his crawling back. It killed me to listen to that radio telethon and not be part of it.
Right.
Because we all know, you know, it. We get more joy out of it, pleasure out of it, than the opposite end of it, where all of that money is now being funneled into unbelievable research. Until Mark brought that up, I didn't think about it. So that's the deal. We're not going to spend 4 hours sitting here talking about it. I probably will bring it up a couple more times because, as you know, on these shows, the audiences change. So I probably will bring it up a couple more times during the course of the program. But the company, Entercom, has made a change here. Jerry Callahan, I'm going to read from their press release, longtime morning co-host will depart WEEI after nearly two decades at the station. He's been a dominant force, a big part of WEEI over the years. While it is now time for a new chapter, we thank him for his many contributions, indelible work that he made at WEEI, including his, here we go, tireless work on behalf of Dana-Farber and the Jimmy Fund. We wish him the best in his endeavors. Additionally, on-air personality Mike Mutmanansky will transition back to hosting evenings at the station, a position he previously occupied. And then they go on to say it's sister station WAAF, longtime personality and morning show sports anchor Lyndon Byers will remain in a new capacity. Morning show producer Mike Hsu will move to afternoon drive, and apparently they're going to do more music at the other station. And Greg Hill, starting on July 29th, will host along with his co-host Danielle Murr from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., and they will be the new morning drive show. Right here in WEEI. All right, as I said, Wiggy is here. Mark James is here. It's going to be a challenge. It was going to be a challenge to begin with before this news. Now it's even a bigger challenge. But we will get into it, and we'll get to the phone calls at 617-779-7937.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Once again, it's Glenn, Lou, and Christian. Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Glenn was at the finish line to greet his daughter. What's his daughter's
name? Amanda. We were on AM until 1:10. I think she went to
UConn. Don't you have more respect for her than ever? Because that's her dad.
I know.
That's her dad. And she overcome that.
And this is what he said to her. It was incredible.
We're getting to Kyrie Irving. We're getting to the Celtics in a second.
Can't get off that.
Just finish the race. We're getting to Kyrie.
Dad, I'm trying to finish. You ask anybody who's there. They need, why are we not on FM? They're killing us.
It's not a big man's game anymore. It's a three-point shooting contest.
We need... So the bunny's not even cold yet, and we're going to sit here and try to figure out who was responsible. Was it you? Was it you, Mark James?
I would say
it was
Mark James. No, because
Reamer. Blame it on Reamer.
It's always Reamer.
Jerry and I had great conversations. We hung out together. We had lunch together. We cracked a couple beers together. But it seems like the last show that he did...
Wednesday.
Or
that was the turning point.
Well, the last show he did today was with Reamer and Dickerson.
Yeah, but he knew Wednesday it's when it dropped, and that was you and Reamer.
It dropped.
That's when the bomb dropped on Wednesday with Mark James and Reamer. They were probably like...
So have you found Hillman's office?
I know. I looked at...
Just asked me. During the break, he asked me. Where's Hillman? What floor is he on?
It's upstairs, Swiggy. Yeah. It's like when you walk in the main entrance, it's upstairs.
Well, I printed off a bunch of good, positive text messages to... You know,
saying, print out a new T-shirt there, brother.
They heard Wiggy and Hillman, so I printed a bunch of them off, and I wanted to say, I mean, Greg, I remember I did an event for you one time. Check this out.
You guys are savages. It's unbelievable. Everybody just waiting, you know? It's going at the carcass, you know, tearing away.
Hey, that's how this business works, right?
Yeah.
Don't wait for somebody to get cold.
All right, we're going to talk some sports, I think, during the course of the day. This is the funniest thing. We were just talking about this before we started the show. The NFL players are starting to get pissed at what's going on with NBA free agency. Mm-hmm. So all these guys are moving, and they're either moving on their own because they're free agents, or in the case of Russell Westbrook, once his teammate and the one guy that could help him win games got traded, he sat there and said, that's it. I'm out. Okay, say, I love the town, but I'm out of here. Okay, you got to move me. So why do we have general managers in that league anymore?
It's completely devalued.
Why does Danny Ainge still have a job? And I'm not knocking Danny for what he's done. I'm saying any of these guys. Masai Ujiri up in Toronto did exactly what he was supposed to do. He went out. He made a deal last year. He gave up the best player in his team, and he got the best player in the league and the best player in the league during the playoffs, and he won the championship. Okay? Congratulations. Now does he suddenly suck? Because that guy suddenly says, you know what? That was great in Toronto. Now I want to go to the Clippers. Mm-hmm. I never thought in my life, and I'm old school, that I would hear somebody say, I want to go to the Clippers or the Nets. Are you kidding me? But the players now are controlling the league. They're going to go wherever they want to go. And guess what's going to happen next? You're already starting to hear it from NFL players. They love this mobility. They love this free agency period right now by the NBA players. What if it happens in the NFL?
It's going to be quarterbacks. There's no way the owners will allow it to happen. Well, wait, because the last collective bargaining agreement with the NFL were all about, I remember there was a guy, Charles Johnson, who playing with the Carolina Panthers. He was going through a contract negotiation.
Defensive end.
And at the end, they all capitulated. They folded like cheap tents because they were all about the immediate money. The NFL owners will never allow it. You got to understand one thing, Glenn, is that the NBA is a strong players association. So does MLB, even stronger. The strongest union in the world. NFL, D'Amore Smith, they don't have that kind of clout.
It's not the reason why they don't have that kind of clout, because when you're talking about the NBA, you're talking about Major League Baseball, it's guaranteed money, right?
Right.
And a lot of people don't realize.
They will never guarantee those contracts.
They're going to push for it in the next collective bargaining. Problem is there are too many of them, Wiggy. Unlike the NBA where it's a smaller sample, you have too many of them and guys will fold.
Right. Here's the issue. And I remember talking to Gene Upshaw at the time, who was the head of the NFLPA. And the problem is this, right? You have a very small percentage of the Tom Brady type players where they get this guaranteed money. They got plenty of money and they could say, you know what? I'm going to sit out. I'm not playing this season. 75 to 80% of those guys, you know, and granted, it is the NFL, but they are living paycheck to paycheck, and they're only getting paid for the regular season. They're only getting that, you know, 16 weeks of salary. So what ends up happening is you got a guy that the season ends January 1st. His next paycheck is not coming until September 1st. And so now, you know, if he hasn't really managed his money the best way, or his living expenses, that kind of thing, these guys are not going to wait around and say, listen, hey, I'm not sitting out. I need my paycheck. And that's why you have a lot of guys that, when you're talking about the new CBA, they're not trying to hold out. They're like, man, just do what you got to do so I can get paid.
And Jerry, you talked to Glenn. Steer Jerry. Glenn, yes.
Jerry's gone.
I know.
Glenn is still here.
Yeah,
see? For a while. Might not be long, but
right.
He's here for a while.
Yeah, I got you on mine. All right. So you talked about this before the show. You said, what if franchise quarterbacks in the prime of their career start doing this? If this is allowed, the NFL owners will never go for it. You think Hunt down in Kansas City is going to allow Patrick Mahomes to leave? No way.
See, this one I think is amusing about it, because I agree with you guys that the NFL is controlled by the owners. The NBA now is controlled by the players, and the public is so naive about this. Adam Silver is the only commissioner that can walk into a room and actually get applause. Matter of fact, he gets standing ovations sometimes. Mm-hmm. And to me, he's the most overrated commissioner in the history of mankind. He did one thing.
He
got rid of Donald Sterling. He got rid of a racist that they should have gotten rid of 30 years ago, because everybody in that league knew what he was, okay? And they had no balls to do it because guess what? Because they couldn't get anybody to buy the Clippers franchise. And then when Steve Ballmer was willing to put up all that money, they suddenly said, okay, now it's safe. We can get rid of the racist, okay? Because we've got money on the table. But the reason he is so weak, and the players love him, you know why the players love him? Because he'll let them do whatever they want.
Yeah, he's a doormat.
They can stay up all night long if they want.
Yep.
You can do whatever you want. There's no control.
And you can post things on social media that go against the President of the United States. Adam Silver's like, no, we want players to express their ideas and what they think about on social media.
Right.
He doesn't care about that stuff.
But see, the point that you two are missing, it's very simple. When you make guaranteed money you could be the last Scrabini on the bench. Yabusele, whose guaranteed contract is, you know, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10 million, right? So now you can act a certain way. We're not even talking about those guys. We're talking about the guys that are saying stuff, are the guys like LeBron, Kevin Durant. These guys are making guaranteed money, $30+ million a year. They don't give a that. You know what type of money that is? That's that FU money.
Yeah.
In the NFL, you don't get that. In the NFL, you're not going to see guys go, you know what? I'm going to take less money so I can sign here for 1 or 2 years and then be re-up in another 2 years. Because, A, there's too many injuries that you got to worry about. And, B, you're not taking less money because you know all it takes is one bad play and that is it. And the NBA, they're not concerned about that.
I'm not even telling you, Wiggy, that it's bad for the NBA. even though the commissioner is beside himself. Now, he came out the other day and he said, oh, this thing's out. We got to do something. Oh, it's out of control. Really? Because you let the kids stay up late at night, okay? You did it, and this is what you've got right now. Because he
But how do you control a kid like Zion who just comes into the league, right? He's going to make, what, 10, 12
million?
Well,
he's under control, though. He's under control for 5 years.
No, but he's going to make 10 or 12 million.
Right.
But he's getting a shoe deal for $100 million, right? So my point is that Adam Silver knows.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
He can't control these kids.
Guys, everything changed. Glenn, you know this. Now, the big three was sort of put together by Danny Ainge. It wasn't Garnett, Pierce, and Allen coming together as free agents. Now, the next big three with Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron, they played together as the Redeem Team in 08 at the Olympics. They said, hey, see what they're doing in Boston? What if us three got together? When LeBron James made that decision with Jim Gray, that, from that moment, it was 9 years ago, right around now, that changed the entire league. And now it's the player empowerment era and the players rule. And as we've talked before, GMs, they become unnecessary evils now because the players are going to
say. And why do the players rule? Why do you think it is? Because it's very simple. The man with the gold rules, right? And they hold the most gold.
Yeah, but you said it. You brought up a great point, and that is that they can make $100 million or certainly close to that on shoe contracts or whatever. So now when what the league did is they set up a policy where you've got Supermax, Max, Supermax, and you can give them all of this money. And what are the players doing now? They're rejecting $80 million more. They're rejecting $40 million more because Wiggy's right. I got money. All I have to do is go to Nike. I'll get money there. I don't need that extra money. And instead, what they're doing is they're going to different places for 2 years. I'm going to try out the Clippers for 2 years. Paul, George is going to go with them.
Right.
And 2 years from now,
I'll
the
get
two
my
of
80
them,
million
right,
back.
The two of them are going to move somewhere else.
How about Durant? How about Durant? Durant's out next year. The year after the season where he's going to be healthy, the 2020-21 season, he can leave. So they're only going to get him for one. He can leave Brooklyn after 2 years. He's out. We all know he's done next year. So if he says, hey, this Brooklyn stuff, this Kyrie guy, he wasn't who I thought he was. He can bolt.
Right. See, that's my problem with the Celtics right now. Okay. And I know I'm going to piss the people off again when I do this, because the Celtic fans are thinking old school. You're thinking about building a team from the core, and then we watch the young kids grow up.
Right.
That's not the NBA anymore.
No.
The NBA players, not the general manager. Danny Ainge can be the greatest general manager in the world. He's irrelevant now.
I mean, okay, I think we live a bit in the age of anxiety.
They don't go for the coach. Nobody's sitting there saying, I want to go with that coach or that coach. They go to play with their friends.
That's right.
And where they're going to put two or three guys together and we're going to win. And guess what? They only want to do it for 2 years. And then they want to try another place. And then another place. So if you're the Celtics, you need to win now.
That's
Forget
it.
About 3 years
right.
from now, 2 years from
and
now.
And that's what Danny Ainge does. He keeps building for the future. Well, the future's right in front of you.
Exactly.
And
there's no future.
The Celtics today are not better than they were 3 weeks ago. Kemba and Cantor aren't better than Kyrie and Horford. Now, will the chemistry be better? Sure. But what is chemistry? The Celtics are devoid. They don't have any superstars. The last superstar they had was Kevin Garnett.
Right. All right, we're going to get to the phone calls. Wiggy also has a way that the Celtics could improve themselves.
I tell you, this is a great way.
Oh, my God. By the way, they need to do drug testing here.
There's nobody on this radio station now that says dumber things than Mark James, except Wiggy with an upcoming
take. Thank you. Thanks for that backhanded compliment.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Glenn Ordway, Lou Merlone, and Christian Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
I tell you what, it's so crazy. I feel bad for Melo, and here's why. Melo was like a good teammate, man. Like,
yeah, it's
Melo
great
practiced every day. He didn't miss any games. Now, the only thing I will say, and I've even told Melo this, scoring 30 meant too much to Melo.
Mm.
It meant too much because he could have games where he had 20-22, we win the game, and he's mad. He might have 36, and he's in there, you know, we lose the game, and he's in there picking everybody up. Scoring 30 meant too much. But I think now you look fast forward to tape, and the reason why he's not in the league, because he's still worthy, is he hasn't mentally taken that step back to say, okay, I'll come in and play against backups. I'll try to help the team out. I know I might not be able to close, but I just want to help. Well, he's not there yet.
Right.
Chauncey Billups on SiriusXM on the NBA channel talking about Carmelo Anthony. I'm having trouble even saying it. Carmelo Anthony. And before the show today, Wiggy comes to me and he says, I got the solution for the Celtics, certainly for their bench.
Yes.
And you tell me who?
Carmelo Anthony.
You're out of your mind.
Bench scoring. What did we talk about yesterday?
It was get like, out of my studio.
Hey, Dale, let me get my point across first. We talked about this yesterday. We said, you know, you said one of the biggest problems is going to be that secondary bench scoring. Now, when you look at Carmelo Anthony, I think Chauncey Billups says it perfectly. If he can buy into, hey, you know what? I'm a role player. I'm going to play 18, 19, 20 minutes a game.
But what did you just say? He said he can't do that.
No.
It's all about him scoring.
But I think
he's not a bad guy.
Yeah, but maybe, you know, it's like anything else, right? You got to start evolving as a player. You got to start looking at your
at his age?
Well, as
he's going to teach an old dog new tricks.
Right. If he wants to play in the NBA and there's the only role for you is to come off the bench, it's either you play in the NBA or you go over to overseas.
Let me remember what the problems were. They were all Kyrie Irving. There were nobody else. Remember the problems last year with the Celtics and mm-hmm. that Gordon Hayward was being force-fed out into the starting lineup in minutes. And so, therefore, Jaylen Brown didn't know what his role was. And then Tatum didn't know what his role was. And these young kids didn't know what the role was. So what you're going to do now is you're bringing in Kemba Walker, who you need to go up there and score 25 a game for you, and then you're going to bring in Carmelo Anthony.
You're bringing in Melo as a bench player who's playing, you know, 14, 15, 18 minutes a game.
Hey, Glenn, when I say stupid things on my mouth, a lot of them are intentional. This is, for him, he actually believes this.
Oh, he believes everything he says.
He was the same guy. Glenn, he was the same guy who wanted the Patriots to give up two number ones for OBJ. So let's understand that.
Why?
Okay.
I will tell you, it is the Carmelo Anthony of shows. It's the single most overrated show in television history.
Okay, so Carmelo Anthony, let me give you some facts.
Consistent for a change, right?
Let me give you some facts here. He's the most overpaid, overrated, underachiever, check stealer in NBA history. His last season in the NBA, Wiggy, was 2017-2018.
Well, no, 2019.
Full season. Oh, but that was before the Thunder and Rockets disposed of him like he was a cheap whore. I'm talking 2017-2018. Yes. You know what? Of 353 players were Carmelo Anthony ranked in player efficiency
rank? I don't care where he ranked.
Well, I'm going to tell you, 224th.
Yeah, but
he sucks.
But you know,
his last four years with the Knicks were 117. 17-211. They missed the playoffs every year.
But you're missing the point. Listen, you're missing the point.
He's not going to take a bench roll.
He averaged 16 points. That's the thing. If he's willing to take a bench
roll. He won't.
Well, then
he's never done it over his career.
But there are some people, I don't know if you know what this means, it's called evolving in life.
He's
right?
not evolved.
So there are some
people. You're giving Carmelo Anthony? Gary Washburn wrote this 6 weeks ago, and I love Gary Washburn. He's really good when it covers the Celtics.
Wait a second.
That's the dumbest thing he's ever written.
I know you know Steph Curry. Do you know Carmelo?
No.
So how do you know he's not willing to take a bench role?
Has he ever done it in his career?
He hasn't.
I don't know. He's got, how about 16-year sample size?
But he hasn't played. He hasn't played, like you said.
He didn't play this year because the Thunder couldn't wait to get rid of him.
Right.
And then the Rockets wanted him out.
So are you not hearing yourself?
No.
He hasn't played. He didn't play last year. In order for him to want to continue playing in the NBA, his role might be Melo. You got to come off the bench. Are you willing to do that and play 17 minutes a night? And that's the only way you're going to play in the NBA. If you're willing to take on that role.
And so you're going to get a guy whose player efficiency rating was 224th in the league.
I want a guy that could come off the bench for 17 minutes. Glenn and I talked about this yesterday. What's going to be the Celtics' biggest problem is their bench scoring. If you can get a guy like Melo and say, here's your role. You buy into it. You come off the bench.
His former teammate Chauncey Billups just said he was more concerned with scoring 30.
But that's when he was an all-star and he was at a different level. Now he's looking for a job, man.
Why did the Rockets dispose of him? What did he play three games there?
Because he wanted to be a starter. Some people.
Well, there you go. You just said it. Then you just defeated your own argument.
No.
He wanted to be a starter.
But people
can change now.
If you want to play,
he's always working out.
I can't believe him. Agreeing with Mark James on anything, but I am agreeing with him.
If he was willing to come here, he's not willing.
What did Chauncey Billups just tell you? Not a bad guy.
Listen, he said I got to come off the bench.
Listen, play the game with me.
He wants to score. He didn't want to come off the bench.
Play the game with me.
He doesn't want to come off the bench.
Do you know Melo?
No.
Okay, so
I don't
maybe,
even know Steph Curry.
But maybe he's changed. Well, let's call up Steph 16, Curry. He might know Melo. But let's play the game.
16 years he's been in the league. He's never won a game. You think all of a sudden now?
Why? If he wants to play, it's no different, right? If you've hosted a drive time radio show.
Which I have.
For 16 years.
It was one available earlier today, but it's been
right.
Full.
If for 16 years, and then all of a sudden you've been out of work and a radio station goes, hey, we want you to come back, but you got to do some weekend work. You going to do it?
No.
Well, then there we go.
He's right.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Totally another bad example.
Right. So we don't know. Melo's still out there.
He's not
training.
Okay,
so let me ask you.
Let's use Wiggy's ideal world.
Play the game.
Hold on. Wiggy's ideal world. Wiggy's ideal world, if Carmelo Anthony is willing to understand that he no longer is a major force in the NBA,
yes,
that you're a minor force, and then when Brad Stevens says to you you're going to play 12 or 13 minutes, and oh yeah, if you miss your first four shots, you're sitting on the bench, you're getting 2 minutes of playing time because I can't play you anymore. Then in your ideal world, yes, he could help you out. But guess what? There's no ideal world. Carmelo Anthony, and he told you, Chauncey Billups told you, he wants to score.
Yeah, but
he doesn't care about winning.
Chauncey also,
he doesn't care about the game.
Chauncey said that's what he used to be.
Wiggy left out one thing. He doesn't play defense either. He's allergic to defense.
Well, he'll fit right in with some of these other guys.
Who plays defense for the Celtics?
Right now, nobody.
Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart.
Right. Marcus Smart.
Right. Two guys out of 15.
Okay, that's
so
not bad.
He fits right into the mold. My point is,
Enes Kanter.
Yes, he doesn't play defense.
If he's willing to come in and take that role as coming off the bench and being some secondary.
Do you think he's going to be willing to
take
that role?
But listen, play the game with me.
Do you think he's going to be willing to take that role?
Play the game with me.
Did you cut your d*** off for a Super Bowl?
Play the game with me.
He can't play the game. You know that he's incapable of doing
you
it.
I'm asking you two to play the game with me. If Carmelo said, yes, I'm willing to do that, would you want him?
No, because I wouldn't trust him.
Because
he would tell me that, and he would
that's
be
not answering
he would
the
be
question.
Lying. No, well, it is.
Glenn, he wants the flashy.
How's that fence feel?
There's no fence.
No, you're sitting
I don't
on
want
it.
Him. No, wait a minute. Hold on. I said no.
You said no.
No, you said no because
you think he's going to go back to.
Because, no, I know he's going to go back. I'm saying no. I want nothing to do with him. Matter of fact, if you want this Carson Edwards, who's an undersized shooter, that's all he seems to do, and you want him to get some time off the bench, maybe give you some instant offense, you're not bringing in a seasoned veteran like that.
But
that
I know
only wants to
shoot. I know Melo's last, like Mark James said, his last year in the league, he averaged 16 points. I know Melo's instant scoring. Say what you want about Melo's personality,
he's vastly
but he's
overrated.
A scorer.
I don't care what you say, he's a scorer.
Yeah.
But you failed to bring one thing up, and please do not go Kemba on this. He's not a winner, he's a loser.
Oh my God.
When did he win anything?
When did Kemba win anything?
Not he never has.
When did Anthony Davis win anything? So I don't want them because they don't win.
But
how many players in the league don't win?
Anthony Davis was never put in a position to win.
So I don't want Carmelo Anthony to win the next.
No, you just made a stupid statement. Won the
no,
Celtics
that's a stupid
again.
Say you guys not a winner.
How many playoff series did Carmelo Anthony win with the Knicks? How many?
He didn't win many.
One. He beat the Celtics, a fossilized Celtics team who they traded away for a bunch of first-round
picks. Let me go to the phone calls. I love it when one calls the guy stupid and the other guy calls him stupid. Stupid. No, you're stupid. No, you're stupid.
He's stupider.
You're stupid. Andre's down in the Cape here on OMFI. Andre.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, Andre.
Carmelo Anthony, if the Celtics want to miss the playoffs, then they can go ahead and pick up Carmelo Anthony.
Thank you.
That's what they want.
Thank you, Andre.
You know, Carmelo Anthony, you know, in terms of, you know, he's basically Terrell Owens' first cousin, you know, to make a sports reference. And we all know what Terrell Owens' initials stand for. It stands for Team Obliterator, okay? And they have the same genes in that regard, okay? The reason Carmelo has one destination in the NBA, that's to go to the Lakers to play with his buddy LeBron. But if that doesn't work out, then he's going to be on the Stephon Marbury plan. He has to leave the country and go to China where he can make a bunch of money, score a bunch of points, and be happy. There's no, LeBron is his homeboy, and LeBron will allow him to, do what he does. But no other NBA team is bringing on the baggage that comes along.
Andre, I'm glad you brought up LeBron, because when the Cleveland had a shot to get him, LeBron's last season in Cleveland, LeBron vetoed it. He didn't want him there. His buddy, his banana boat buddy, Carmelo, didn't want him there.
So you got to get the travel agent, you know, and get that first class ticket to China you know, and you go over there and, you know, score a bunch of points.
I want nothing to do with him. And I'm hearing this, like, Amari's got all these guys.
You sound like falling. I want nothing to do with the DeMarcus Cousins. When you're the Celtics, you're sitting there. You look at it. You're a team that is probably the third best team in the East, right?
No, I would say fourth or fifth, but go ahead.
Okay, so but a flip of a coin, they could be the third.
So you think Carmelo Anthony's the difference?
No. Oh. I didn't say he's the difference. But a flip of a coin, you could be better than
them. If the Celtics traded Jaylen Brown to Indiana for Miles Turner, they're the third best team in the Eastern Conference.
No. But you in that 7-game series, you could beat the Indiana Pacers.
Sure.
The Celtics.
Sure.
So that's why I said you're a flip of the coin. Yeah. You're the third, fourth, fifth, but all those teams are way behind the Philadelphia 76ers and the Milwaukee Bucks.
Sure.
So my thing is this. You want to add to a team that it's about getting good players or players that can maybe do some things, and sometimes those players come with baggage. If that's Carmelo coming off the bench, if that's a DeMarcus Cousins, that's what you have to do, because you need to do what you got to do for this team to get them as close as you can to the Sixers and Bucks.
But Wiggy, you also know that DeMarcus Cousins is not coming to Boston.
No, I know he's not now.
He's, right. Well, he wasn't coming to Boston.
Well, how do we know that?
Because he's not making an awful lot of money, so the consequence to that is he's going to go and he's going to go to a team in which they can win an NBA championship. He's coming off Achilles surgery.
Right.
He can't go make big bucks. He can't. A couple years ago, he was on the verge of getting himself max contract money.
Right.
He can't do that. Now he's going year to year, getting what the scraps, whatever he can get. If you're going to do that, and you're in his position, you go with a team that can win a ring. You're not coming to Boston. None of those guys are coming to Boston.
He could have came here. He made $5.3 last year in Golden State. He probably could have came here and made about $4 million.
If you had Anthony Davis, you had Kyrie Irving.
I'm not saying you
still had Al Horford, this might be a place he might think about.
Yeah. But
he's not coming here with this.
We never considered Boston.
Why isn't the Celtics, when you look at the NBA, it is wide open.
It's wide open to win
a championship.
In the East, in the West.
I'm just saying, to win a championship, no more Golden State.
Can I ask you one question? Do you think Boston is a destination for elite free agents?
Do I think? Top 10? Yeah, if you can.
I never got an elite free agent. One. You sound like Greg Dickerson now.
Why? You can get elite free agents.
But they never. No one wants to come here.
You haven't got it. But who would have been the free agents that you had?
Well, I'm saying Kawhi Leonard didn't take a meeting with Danny Ainge.
You guys can bitch during the break. I'm going to take a break, and you can bitch right out there, right there. Just go scream all you want. 617-779-7937. It is Wiggy and Mark James with a C filling in for the MFers, and thank God they both will be back on Monday.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.